how we walk this out, how we live this out. So in this process, we just keep going. Verse 24 says, we keep his commandments. So it's a constant, constant transition. So beloved says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Verse 2, but by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. That is being played out very, very prominent in our world today. It's becoming more and more obvious that there is a division. Just because you say you're a Christian doesn't mean you're a Christian anymore in this world, in these days. It says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, and he who knows God hears us. He who does not, who is not of God does not hear us, but by this the spirit of truth and the spirit of error is made known. And that to me is important. I'm going to give you just one little description, just one simple little description. We just recently had our two political conferences. What do you call those, where they have these meetings? Conventions, thank you. We had the DNC and the RNC conventions. One, in the Pledge of Allegiance, totally and willfully admitted under God. They did. If you go back and see some of the things, they omitted God from everything that they did in terms of what was presented, what was said. The other convention honored God. One's of the Antichrist, one's of God. So, now you're being judgmental. No, we just read what the Word says here. We're not being judgmental. We're being discerning. Discerning.
Yes.
So he says in verse 4 that we have overcome them by the Spirit of Christ, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Notice he is capital there, H. He who is in you, capital H, is greater than he, small h, who is in the world. That's good news for us. That's good news for you, in terms of who we are. Here's my challenge for today as we get ready to worship here. Worship is a form of warfare. It really is. What I find is people truly engage in worship, they become more vocal in their faith. People who are timid in worship are usually timid in the world. That simple. We've come to a time where we can't be timid. We can't allow timidity to rule how we function and represent Christ in this world. We've got to become bold, not in arrogance, not in pride, but bold with a cry for the heart of the lost. We've got to speak out. If we fail to shine, there's no light for them to see. We must shine. We must speak out. We must become light in a dark and perverse generation. So it's time to become vocal about our faith. It's time to shout to the world, your life's in danger. Your life is in danger. Because it truly is. The spirit of deception is out there. The spirit of the Antichrist is out there. It's at work. We've just seen it in these conventions. And people will say, well, that's just stuff, that's just religious stuff. Well, the devil will love it. The devil will willfully let you believe it's just religious stuff, because you're no threat to him then. But it is a spiritual battle for the heart of this nation. Therefore, it is a spiritual battle for the heart of God's people. Because we're the key to the nation. So it's time to shout. It's time to declare, you need Jesus. Yes. It's time to declare, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Yes. It's time to declare, the government is not your choice. The government is not your solution.
That's right.
It's not.
That's right.
Only one, Jesus, is our solution.
That's right. That's
Turn now to Philippians chapter 2. So as believers, we must become bold. Not in arrogance, as I stated, welcome, but bold, based from a heart of concern for the lost. Bold from an aspect of an attitude of obedience toward Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now so much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Notice it says, in my absence, to also be obedient. And I think that to me is that's the greater charge in this simple little verse. Because it's how we do and it's what we are when nobody else is around that really reveals our character. Yeah. Everybody's really good. Everybody's on their best behavior on Sunday morning. But what about Monday morning? What about Tuesday morning? So when our brothers and sisters aren't around. That's why Paul is saying to obey in his absence is really the greater thing. And then he says he places upon them a responsibility. He says, work out your salvation. And that's in there. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God has a purpose for our lives. God has a determined destiny for each of us. And that destiny will come in different ways, different assignments. But there is a destiny in what you're to be, and to become. Your destiny may just be to be the best grandparent in your neighborhood. Your destiny may be to be the best employee on the job. Your destiny may be to go out and evangelize the community. We all have a destiny because God has an amazing ability to send forth his people, his servants, into the world. And through the design, he's able to orchestrate the lives of his servants in such a way where we permeate and influence the world around us. We need somebody who's on fire at 7-Eleven. We need somebody who's on fire at the local car garage. We need somebody who's on fire for the Lord in the law offices. We need somebody who's on fire for the Lord working in our community services. We need somebody who's on fire for the Lord working for our county services. Wherever your assignment is, that is your pulpit. Wherever your assignment is, that is your pulpit. Your pulpit, fixing veggies. It's an assignment. It may not seem like a lot, but if you're shining to those around you who are in darkness, it speaks to them. It speaks to them. I'm going to share a little bit about Brother Alan Ehlers and how God began to use him in a different way of ministry in Del Rio, Texas. They've gone through a transition, but God was saying, you're not finished yet. I'm not finished with you. There's more for you to do here in this community. And he was just led of the Lord to go sit in a furniture store. And so he'd get his coffee and go sit in the furniture store and just meet people and talk with them. And something amazing began to happen as time went by. God began to orchestrate divine appointments for him to witness to some of the employees or the customers that were coming through that were discouraged, having hard times. And God would drop within Alan a word of knowledge for these people. And he would speak to them this word of knowledge. And they'd get amazed. And they'd get answers. God would do great things. And then he had to leave for a few months to go travel off to another state, go help with his son and so forth. The business owners at this point, at first, they weren't really excited about this, but they were putting up with it because I think what the owner had been a friend of Alan's. Well, as time goes by, as Alan is gone, things with the business slows down. In other words, it was like the people that God was bringing in for this divine contacts weren't coming in anymore, and so their business slowed down. So Alan comes back. The owners are like, oh, we're so glad you're back. We got your table ready for you here. And so he sits down again. Business picks back up. Divine assignment. Everybody has a destiny. And we've got to understand, but you've got to be bold in that destiny. You've got to be willing to be used of God. We just read that verse. Let me read it again. It's in the Bible. Everybody say, it's in the Bible. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for your good pleasure. No, that's not what it says. For whose good pleasure? His good pleasure. But the amazing thing is, as we respond to his good pleasure, it also brings pleasure to us. Amen? It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Look at your neighbor and say, did you hear that? That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And that's where we're at today, guys. We are in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. Not just out in the world, but even within some of our churches. Yes. We need light even within our churches. It says, among whom you will shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. It's time to be bold and courageous. It's time to shine. What do you mean by shining? What is it we do to shine? Well, have some boldness to pray for the sick. Have some boldness to love the unlovable. Have some boldness that when God stirs your heart with a word in due season, a little simple word of knowledge or word of wisdom, have the boldness to speak it out to that person that he has just dropped that in your heart into, to give to them. Don't run from the opportunity. Embrace the opportunity. Speak that word in due season. And it's so exciting when you begin to see how God wants to use you. And he does want to use you. He desires to use all his children. So it's time to shine. And so say it with me. It's time to shine. Again, it's time to shine. So Lord Jesus, I thank you for gracing us with boldness to be obedient and to be vessels used for your glory and honor. Amen and amen.